This is attorney Larry Rowe. Question: why would you take a local auto crash case to a huge out-of-state law firm? Be smart, stay local, and visit me at LarryLRowe.com.
Expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of 580 WCHS, its employees, or WVRC Media. 580 Live is presented by Thornhill Automotive and is broadcast live from the Parmar Stores studio. From the studios of West Virginia Radio Corporation, the country, the United States of America, the state, West Virginia, the city, Charleston, this is 580 Live. And your host of 580 Live.
What we've got here is failure to communicate.
He's kind of a big deal.
I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass. And I'm all out of bubblegum.
Dave Allen.
Hey, folks, good Thursday morning to you from the Parmar Store Studio. It's 580 Live at the Voice of Charleston, WCHS. Sears Monument Hotline, 304-345-5858. Fruit Pharmacy text 304-935-5008. 580 Live brought to you in part by the Thornhill Auto Group. Join our sister station, Superstar Country, 96.1 KWS to 107.3 KAZ. Live at Thornhill Chrysler Dodge Jeep. Found to Place Mall in Logan tomorrow from 4 to 6 for your chance to win free tickets to see Keith Urban live in concert Saturday, October 15th at the Coliseum and Convention Center. Attorney General Patrick Morrissey is going to join us momentarily. We'll be talking to him. Also, Metro News statewide correspondent Brad McElhaney. And we're going to get the latest on this plane crash situation that took place in Logan County. And before I get to the Attorney General, I did want to get this out there. A big shout-out to my native county. I'm sure by now we've all heard about the helicopter crash late yesterday afternoon in Logan County. It was a Vietnam-era Huey. And it crashed late yesterday afternoon. Each year there is a reunion of people who flew those type of copters. And this particular was owned, apparently, I'm hearing by a good friend of mine who, it was being flown by someone other than the owner. The crash happened near Blair Mountain and the Logan County Airport. I've actually flown on that particular aircraft in the past. And I'll say I'm not one who is particularly afraid of flying, but that was kind of a different experience for me for sure. There's no doors on it, flying over those jagged rocks. It was a little more than I could stand. I'm not going to lie to you. But it's a tragedy nonetheless. The investigation is continuing. There's several press conferences. NTSB is involved. And we're going to get someone from the newsroom a little on the show a little bit later on to give us the latest on that. But again, thoughts and prayers to my native county on that. Sears Monument Hotline, we'll get to those calls later, 304-345-5858, Fruit Pharmacy text 304-935-5008. Let me welcome in Attorney General Patrick Morrissey. Good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm doing great. Good morning. Good to join you today.
That's always a pleasure to have you on the show with us. I want to talk about sports for a moment, one of my favorite subjects. Now, Title IX is coming up on its 50th anniversary. Now, Title IX, you'll recall, prohibits sex-based discrimination in any school or educational type environment based on programs that get funding from the federal government. Now, a lot of people are celebrating the 50th anniversary of Title IX, you among them. You and Delegate Margita Mazzocchi and others were at the Capitol recently to celebrate that, but there's now a lawsuit, sir, I understand, that's been filed in response to something that the legislature in West Virginia did, passing a bill to ensure, in many people's words, the separation, for lack of a better term, of sports, making sure girls compete against girls, boys against boys. Now, the ACLU has filed a lawsuit on behalf of a middle schooler from Bridgeport who identifies as transgender, and I'll let you, sir, kind of take the story from there.
Absolutely. Well, you're correct, Dave, and thank you for raising this issue, because it's not received the attention it deserves. I know that a lot of people want to write about all the procedural aspects of this, and we had a press conference the other day where we commemorated Title IX, which is now 50 years old, which is pretty amazing. I remember when I was young, that was one of the hot topics of conversation. And the goal behind Title IX was really not only to eliminate discrimination, but it was supposed to really inject a whole new era into women's sports. And as we've seen over the years, this has caused so many young women to participate in sports, and many people then who participate in women's sports have gone on. Some of the leading corporate figures Women in America have participated in women's sports. There's so many people that have taken advantage of this opportunity and have benefited from this. And then, as you know, in recent years, there's been a lot of focus on what happens when you have a biological male who wants to compete in women's sports. And I think the legislature, knowing, anticipating that this problem was coming, they decided that they were going to pass a Save Women's Sports Act. This is really to defend the integrity of women's sports, because they believe that it was a matter of basic fairness that women wouldn't have to compete against these biological males. And so the legislature passed that, and that went through, and now there's a lawsuit challenging that. There is a injunction against the suit in a very, very narrow way, only applying to one individual who filed the suit. Excuse me, but now we go to trial. Trial is set for July 26th. We've been developing the evidence. We think that that evidence will show that biological males do have an advantage over females in these sports, and that we're going to present this, and that's going to be compelling in terms of why women should continue to have the same opportunities they've had over the last 50 years. So we're excited to defend the state's position in this case, and we think that this is really important for the integrity of Title IX and for women's future ability to participate in sports. And so we're working on that. We had a press conference the other day. We had a really impressive young woman, Lainey Armstead, who had intervened to get involved. She was a soccer player at West Virginia State, and she was concerned about the implications, so she intervened to join the case. We had some lawyers there from Alliance Defending Freedom to celebrate the 50th anniversary of Title IX. And, you know, to me, this is a matter of common sense, and I'm hopeful that the courts are going to see this the correct way.
What's the time frame on that, Mr. Attorney General? Do you have a time frame of when this may be heard?
Yeah, so the trial is scheduled for July 26th, and it's supposed to go on for 4 days. And then thereafter, my instinct is that whoever does not prevail in the trial is going to appeal. And so, you know, we're preparing for all possibilities, and I think you'll see an appeal up before the Fourth Circuit and possibly up to the U.S. Supreme Court. So the stakes on this case are big. This is one of the most important cases going through the legal system right now, and I think it's a first in line, if you will, to get decided. So this one could go pretty far. We'll have to see how that plays out, but I think that West Virginia is out in front on this issue because they did anticipate the problems. A lot of people are seeing what happened with the swimming competition with Leah Thomas, and I think Americans understand that it's important these kinds of laws remain in place.
We're talking with Attorney General Patrick Morrissey in 580 Live from the Parmar Stores studio. Mr. Attorney General, switch gears here. You won another round in court against Big Pharma. Talk about that.
Yeah, absolutely. So many people know that we've been very aggressive going after the opioid epidemic, and that's meant attacking the problem from a supply, a demand, and an educational perspective. And that's included civil litigation as well. And we have been filing litigation against entities who we think are culpable within the pharmaceutical supply channel. Well, we've been able to reach agreements now with all of the manufacturers of these opioid products, and the total is now up to close to $300 million, and that's pretty important because I think that's going to give our state an opportunity to fund the types of initiatives that are targeted to those who need it most. We have been working with the counties and cities across West Virginia. We have virtually every county and city on board so far. We're still working on a few more. We need to finish that process in order to then process the settlements. But this structure between the state and all the political subdivisions is going to allow us to make sure that the monies are spent consistent with the court settlements and that they're dispersed, allocated properly across West Virginia, with the right type of oversight. So we're really excited about it. It's a major development in the fight against opioid abuse here in West Virginia. We are glad to see the case through to the bitter end. That's $161.5 billion for Allergan and Teva. And the advantage of going all the way through, Dave, is that everyone gets to see all the files, all the evidence, all the information. It's out for the public view, and we literally settled the case on the very last day when we were about to do closing arguments. And that's because I wanted to make sure that we had an agreement that worked for West Virginia. That's what ultimately I'm governed by. And these are the top settlements in the country, top per capita. They usually represent about twice or more of the national average and the agreements that West Virginia would get. So they're really powerful, and I'm very optimistic that this is going to play a major role in helping our state avoid this opioid epidemic in the future.
Talking with Attorney General Patrick Morrissey. Sir, before we let you go, another thing that your office has done is to go to court in a case involving, in your words, religious liberty when considering the use of public funds for private schools. Now, you team with other attorney generals to work on this case. What is this case, and where does it stand now?
Absolutely. So the U.S. Supreme Court ruled on Tuesday on behalf of an 18-state coalition to say that parents have the freedom to choose where their children go to school, particularly where they're paying tuition. So this was a question as to whether public funds could be used for private schools. And the Supreme Court said yes, that discrimination against schools that teach religious doctrine is actually discrimination against religious schools. And so this is important, and we're going to see how this impacts what we're doing here in West Virginia, where we have a New Hope Scholarship Law, and there are, I believe, over 3,600 people that have signed up for that. So the Supreme Court obviously believes in individuals and families' right to freely associate and to worship the religion of their choice. And what this case is all about is ensuring that the money can flow for those purposes as well, and that it does so in a non-discriminatory manner. So this is a big win for religious liberty. And I'll tell you, I'm never too cocky about all these cases that are going up through the high court, but we have a lot of them in place. We have this religious liberty decision. There's going to be an immigration case. There's a Second Amendment case. You have the Dobbs case. You have the West Virginia v. EPA case. They're all getting decided this week, and I'm hopeful we're going to win every single one of them. And that's just a great credit to our office and a lot of the other AGs who have been very involved in them.
Attorney General Patrick Morrissey, we always appreciate you taking time out of your schedule to be here, man. Thanks a lot, and have a great day.
Hey, thank you so much. Appreciate it.
All right, it's 9:20. So here's Monument Hotline, 304-345-5858. Fruits Pharmacy text 304-935-5008. Festival will continue today in Charleston and tonight at 5:30. Kaleidoscope from the Black Diamond Girl Scouts at Jared Constructions Mansion, which is at 1605 Virginia Street East in Charleston. And at 6, it's a wake-up call. It's a West Virginia Heroes Live. It's a documentary that's being shown at the Culture Center. And at 7, Home by 10 with Static 4 at 186 Summer Street, all part of festival going on today. Metro News statewide correspondent Brad McElhaney is up next. It's 580 Live from the Parmar Store Studio on The Voice of Charleston, WCHS.
Brought to you by the Eric J. Tarr Family Businesses. Eric J. Tarr Family Businesses bring first-class businesses to your community.
Spring is in the air, and at Thornhill GM Superstore, we have your cure for spring fever. It's a sport utility spring at Thornhill. Hey, it's Sydney inviting you to find new roads to the Thornhill Motor Mile and get you a new 2022 Chevy Equinox with 0% APR for 16 months or $1,000 cash allowance. Or a new 2022 Chevy Trailblazer with 1.9% APR for 60 months. Life is better in a Chevy SUV. Find out why and tag your new SUV at ThornhillGMSuperstore.com or in person, US 119 Chapmanville. The road to total savings starts with Thornhill.
I'm qualified through GM Financial. See Thornhill for all details.
Quality that's through the roof. T-Bay Roofing is now your certified GAF Master Elite Contractor for the Kanawha Valley. That means when T-Bay installs your new GAF roofing system, it comes with a GAF Golden Promise warranty for up to 50 years. And it's even transferable once to the next homeowner.
Quality that's through the roof. T-Bay Roofing.
Put your trust in the Kanawha Valley's premier roofing contractor. Get started with a free call to 844-PRO-ROOF, and T-Bay will get you a free estimate within 24 hours. Remember, each T-Bay roof comes with a GAF Golden Pledge warranty for up to 50 years. That's 844-PRO-ROOF, and find out more at tbayroofing.com.
Quality that's through the roof, T-Bay Roofing.
Trading in your business fleet or personal vehicle for a new one? Donate your used vehicle to Good News Mountaineer Garage and get the best tax deduction possible and the satisfaction of knowing your donation changed the life of someone in need. Good News Mountaineer Garage repairs donated vehicles and provides them to qualified West Virginia families, giving them access to employment, safe, affordable housing, health care, and other vital necessities, and putting them on the road to economic independence. Call 1-866-GIVE-CAR today for Good News Mountaineer Garage. 866-GIVE-CAR. Car.
Presented by RX Bytel Pharmacy, your neighborhood pharmacy on Charleston's west side. Proud to bring you RX Bypack, a pre-filled pouch system which divides your tablets and capsules into multiple day doses perfectly matched to your doctor's instructions. Learn more at rxbytel.com.
From the Parmar Store Studio, it's 580 Live at the Voice of Charleston WCHS. Big happenings at Parmar this week. Yesterday, they began operations of their newest store in Huntington, 1002 9th Avenue. Today, going to open up a new grocery store in the town of Richwood. It's the Mouth and Earmark Pick Pack. We've been cutting at 2 o'clock today. Then tomorrow at 2, Parmar will break ground on their first ever store in Logan County at the Appalachian Outpost. That's at the former Red Mall location. And remember, if there's not a Parmar store near you now, there will be soon. Let's bring in Metro News statewide correspondent Brad McElhenney. Brad, good morning. How are you?
Oh, hi. Good morning, Dave. Good. How are you?
I am doing fine, man. So Derek Evans is in the Capitol. That was the rallying cry on January the 6th, which begs the question, now that he's going to jail, will it be Derek Evans is in cell block 6?
You know, I feel like it'll probably be a little more subdued than that. Although, you know, I don't know what's going on, but he was sentenced yesterday afternoon, which appears to be a very serious life-altering event. And then just a couple of hours after that, there was a new Facebook page for Mr. Evans. I'm thinking established by him and maybe by a marketing agent, I'm not totally sure, but it indicates that Mr. Evans is available for media interviews across the country. Get Caitlin on that. But it indicates a way to reach out to him through a marketing person, and also indicates a way that you can donate to him to help alleviate his legal costs and costs to his family. So he has been... I will say, in front of the judge in the hearing yesterday, he was contrite, polite, responsible, respectful. No, responsible might be a step too far. But, you know, struck the right tone, the mm-hmm. tone that I think you would take in the situation. But after that, was right out there on social media suggesting that he's available for a media blitz as well as for donation.
Which is kind of interesting, Brad, because, I mean, ever since this whole thing happened, and maybe it's because, you know, his attorney said, you know, don't talk to the media because the trial's going on or whatever, he had apparently gone silent for a while. So now he's, I guess, going back at it. So what is the sentence? Explain the sentence to us.
Yeah, this is a felony, and that particular felony, civil disruption, you could get up to 5 years. That's not what any of the sides had proposed. Mr. Evans's own lawyer had said that he thinks probation would be best, so no jail time at all. That seemed unrealistic to me because of the West Virginians I've covered, two have faced misdemeanors, and they got a month, 45 days in jail. So for Evans to face a felony and ask for no jail time seemed completely unrealistic to me. But prosecutors had asked for 3 months, and they acknowledged that he had not committed an act of violence, but they said that was no reason to go more leniently on him on this charge because if he had committed an act of violence, he would have faced even more serious charges. So that was already taken into account through the charge here. The judge wound up weighing it all, of course, and saying that he had considered more than even prosecutors had asked. He'd thought maybe up to 6 months. But took two sort of counterbalancing things into account. One was that Derek Evans is obviously quite well connected, and there were letters sent on his behalf from his family, his friends, people from the community, people he interacts with for church and political causes, dozens of pages of people saying, you know, we hope you will consider not just this event, but his life as a whole. And so, you know, he has a reputation. Some people admire him and get along with him very well. Others have had negative experiences even outside of this. And I'm not necessarily going to get into the broader, except to say that he had an impressive number of people who tried to go to bat for him, the judge noticed. But secondly, the prosecutors went through of an hour and 20 minutes of Derek Evans' live stream. They didn't play the whole thing, but they played clips back to back to back to back to back that we haven't seen or heard previously. You know, there's like a 5 minute segment that has been out there where he's going in the Capitol. That's the part that you mentioned. Derek Evans is in the Capitol, but there was much more than that, and he's into it. I mean, you know, acknowledges that members of Congress are fleeing. Harangues the police who are right in front of him, talks about patriots taking over, and that equally, or maybe more equally, made an impression on the judge, who said, you were egging this on, both in person at the event and through the power of that live stream, through the social media, encouraging the crowd to move forward. So the judge said, look, we cannot encourage this kind of behavior at and in our U.S. Capitol, and the judge said his role is to discourage anything like this from happening in the future. So he believed that Evans deserved jail time, and the 3 months was what he handed down.
Talking to Metro News statewide correspondent Brad McElhaney on 580 Live, and you have a very in-depth story posted at wvmetronews.com. We encourage people to go check that out. I will say this, Brad, about Derek Evans. I met him a few years ago, and I actually had him on the show when he was a candidate for House. I found him, the first time I met him, I remember I was in Huntington the first time I met him at an event, and I talked to him. I found him to be a very personable guy. He was a family man, highly religious, four kids, a wonderful wife. You know, he was one that was very firm in his beliefs. He even referred to himself as activist Derek Evans. When I had him on the show as a candidate, he actually asked me, he said, you know, when you promote it, as I do on Facebook and Twitter, could you say activist Derek Evans? And I had seen several social media posts when he was arguing prior to January 6th, of course, arguing with people back and forth on a number of topics, mainly abortion seemed to be his big thing. A very passionate guy, and perhaps, Brad, that's what got him into trouble.
Yeah, the outreach, the new website, the marketing agent, all of that describes him as having had a very difficult and thought-provoking last 18 months. So, you know, for anybody who goes through this, you'd hope it's a growing experience. But then he goes on to talk about he wants to continue to fight for democracy. And I don't know what that means at this point. You know, I don't think that our democratic issues are resolved by a mob going in and interrupting Congress and causing the Vice President of the United States to evacuate, to be among people who are shouting, hang Mike Pence. That to me is really the antithesis of democracy. And so it'll be interesting to see what he means. He obviously still has many admirers.
Sure.
Was well-liked enough to be elected to, a statewide House of Delegates seat, one of 100 members entrusted with the vote of the people. And he is charismatic, as you said. So how he uses his life and his from here on out will be interesting to see.
Well, we got a text here from the Fruit Pharmacy text line, Brad, that says, does this conviction preclude him from seeking public office in West Virginia again?
You know, that is a good question. That was not brought up, and I don't immediately know the answer. There was more talk about how he has now lost his gun rights, because he has pleaded guilty to a federal felony, and that was one of the losses that his defense attorney described, is that he can no longer go hunting with his son, can't you know, a lot of West Virginians augment what food they're able to put on the table through deer season or squirrel season or rabbit season or, you know, you name it. That's a West Virginia thing. Grow your garden and go out hunting. He can't do that anymore. So that was one of the losses that was described by his attorney. And then he did resign 3 days after January 6th from his seat at the House of Delegates. He really didn't ever serve in a regular session, but had sworn his oath. And that was another loss that was described. And, you know, that was a battle at the time. He had a local lawyer and had been acting defiant, was under some pressure to resign. But yesterday in court and in the filings, Mr. Evans' current attorney described that as yet another sacrifice he had made and another way of penance was resigning that House of Delegates seat.
And he seemed very remorseful, did Evans, in the statement. Again, complete story is posted by you at WVMetroNews.com, but he did seem somewhat remorseful for his actions in the statement. Let me move on to something else before we let you go, Brad. I know you got other things to do. I had Pushkin on the show yesterday, and he took the high road. But of course, we're talking about Mike Pushkin, who is the new state Democratic Party chair, in addition to being a current sitting House of Delegates member and a candidate for House. But he took the high road yesterday, and he didn't want to discuss the Mark Harris situation, which I think, quite frankly, was a class act on Mike Pushkin's part. But what is the latest on the current Republican Party chair for the state, who had been asked to resign by other people within the party and was refusing to do so, but now says he won't run again? Is there anything new to report on the Mark Harris situation?
You know, I've been kind of wondering that too. You know, but to my understanding, the ask from the executive director and the other elected members of the party was that he should consider resignation right now. That came out Saturday night. Immediately consider resignation was the phrasing that came out at that point. Well, Harris went partway. He said, well, I am not resigning, acted kind of defiant about that, accused people of leveling anonymous accusations at him, but then did say that position comes open in a month. He is filling out the unexpired term that Melody Potter originally had, and it comes up on July 30th. Republicans and the executive committee will pick someone now at this point new. He says he is not going to be a candidate. And that seems to have quieted things down. I have not heard other repercussions. I really tried to listen carefully to Tony Hodge when he was on the show, the chairman, forgive me if I get this wrong, chairman of the Putnam Executive Committee.
Right, yeah.
And, you know, to me, Hodge represents people like himself, people who are invested in the party, who know what's going on, well informed. He admittedly has been a Harris critic, and he seemed, I thought, satisfied that Harris was taking his name out of the running for going for another 4-year term, and it sounds like, all right, we just ride this out at this point. Another question that remains, and I don't know if we'll ever hear the specifics, is what truly was he accused of doing. It was inappropriate comments. It gives every impression of sounding like it was inappropriate comments made toward other women who were active in the party, but it was never really specified. That was one bone of contention by Harris. But I think my reading into it was there was a privacy concern for those women. I mean, they're out there too and probably have some concerns about their end of it being exposed. And then I think I read into it also that there was you need to sit this one out or more will come out about you. It was sort of leverage against him. So that's still something I wonder about, but I don't know that we'll ever hear.
Well, I got some information that was sent to me earlier this morning, Brad, from some folks within the GOP. And it says that a final decision will probably come sometime today with an announcement to follow as to who some of the candidates may be. Now, I don't know. I know that it's going to be an official, whether that's going to go out to the public or not. But I'm just saying that was somebody within the party who sent me that said, and it's going to be interesting to see because you know Tony Hodges' name was brought up by several people on the show here. They texted the show, but then there's other names, including names out of the past, have also been floated out there as well.
Well, it's going to be a challenging situation. Melody Potter was, the consensus choice for this term, the term that the Republicans are completing. But in some ways, her term became rocky, and she had to step aside for personal reasons. She's taking care of her parents. And so then Mark Harris went in with his own baggage, and it certainly seems like the Republicans, the dominant party now in West Virginia, could stand some smooth sailing, both as organizational matter and in dealing with these elections up ahead.
All right, Brad, as always, appreciate the job you do and appreciate you taking time to be on the show. And, again, if you want to read more about the Derek Evans story, it's an in-depth story, not only about Derek Evans but about some of the others. Just follow Brad on Twitter or just go to the website, wvmetronews.com. Brad, I appreciate it, man. Have a great day.
Thanks, Dave. You too.
Thanks a lot. 22 minutes away from 10. Sears Monument Hotline, 304-345-5858. Fruith Pharmacy text 304-935-5008. Text says, Derek Evans basically sacrificed his life for Donald Trump. He's not employable at this point. He almost has to go on a tour or write a book to make money. It's sad. He made very bad choices and was very irresponsible. Not the way a father and husband should be behaving when away from home, according to a texter. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, before I take a break, let me get this in here. I want to send out thoughts and prayers to our very own Hoppy Kercheval. Hoppy's mother, Patricia, passed away on June 13th. Now, Hoppy is back to work. He did a great commentary this morning. It was a beautiful tribute to his mother. On his commentary today, and he talked about her battle with dementia. It's a very moving piece, and you can check that out at wvmetronews.com or on, I'm sure it's posted elsewhere online, Twitter, Facebook, or whatever, but it's a very good listen to or a read if you get an opportunity to do that. But again, thoughts and prayers to Hoppy, whose mother did pass away last week, and he is back to work, I understand, today. I'm presuming he'll be doing talk. I know he did his morning commentary this morning, so just wanted to throw that out there. Also, I got to get this in here. Got a lot of things I got to get in this morning. Due to the storms around town last night, a few of our stations of WVRC Media here in Charleston are actually off the air due to power issues. Now, our streaming obviously is up, and if you're listening to me now, well, you know that. As I said, and it seems, if you look at the numbers, more people listen to the stream than do on the air anyway, such is the nature of the business these days. Our crew is working on it and should have it coming back up very soon. It's apparently only affecting our station and also 96.1 KWS, from what I understand, and so they're working on it. Hopefully, they'll be able to get it back up. But hey, thankfully, we have the stream, and obviously people are listening because I've got about 20 texts I'm going to try to get to, but also want to get to this tragedy in Logan County with this helicopter crash last night. We'll have someone from the newsroom join us to talk about that in a matter of moments. From the Parmar Store Studio, it's 580 Live at the Voice of Charleston, WCHS.
Brought to you by the Eric J. Tarr Family Businesses.
Eric J. Tarr Family Businesses want to thank you for shopping locally.
Out with the old, in with the new.
Your fresh start is waiting this spring on the Thornhill Motor Mile.
Spring into savings at Thornhill GM Superstore and tag your new 2022 Buick SUV.
Featuring Encore, Encore GX, Envision, and Enclave.
With available 0% APR on these and most GMC models.
For well-qualified buyers.
Swing into spring with safety, performance, and luxury for all lifestyles. Well-equipped with our Thornhill Value Plus warranty.
Long-term coverage plus.
Tag your ride.
Shop all qualifying offers and get to know the new Buick and GMC at ThornhillGMSuperstore.com.
We are professional grade.
For qualified through GM Financial, see Thornhill for all details.
Poca Valley Bank, your community bank, is ready to serve you for all of your banking and financial needs. Poca Valley Bank has been serving customers in your community since 1908. Stop by one of their 8 convenient locations in Elkview, Sissonville, Poca, Winfield, Glendenin, Spencer, Walton, and now Kanawha City, and let them become your community bank. Visit Poca Valley online at PocaValleyBank.com to learn more about their personal and business services. Poca Valley Bank, where relationships matter. Member FDIC.
If you're happy and you know it, cruise the bay. If you're happy and you know it, cast a line. If you're happy and you know it, Like to wakeboard, water ski, swim off the platform, soak up the sun, enjoy a beautiful view of the shore and family memories for a lifetime? If you're happy and you know it, you likely have a boat.
Happiness on the water starts at Trojan Landing Marine. From express fishing boats to hurricanes that can scoot, take the hassle out of boating and let Trojan Landing find your perfect boat. Trojan Landing Marine, Charleston.
Chances are you're jamming in your car right now. And since Liberty Mutual customizes car insurance, so you only pay for what you need, Limu and I are going to show you some safe car dance moves. Hit it. Everybody, check your blind spots real quick. Now hands on the wheel. Put them 10 in 2 and move your head like a bird do. Only pay for what you need at LibertyMutual.com.
Liberty, 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 liberty.
Presented by RX Bytel Pharmacy, your neighborhood pharmacy on Charleston's west side. Proud to bring you RX Bypack, a pre-filled pouch system which divides your tablets and capsules into multiple day doses perfectly matched to your doctor's instructions. Learn more at rxbytel.com.
Seventeen minutes away from 10. Phone calls to 580 Live. A service of Sears Monument Company offering quality memorials since 1911 with locations in Charleston, Huntington, Beckley, and Parkersburg. Our live streaming brought to you by attorney Larry L. Rowe. Visit LarryLRowe.com or call 304-925-1333. And our texting services provided by Fruith Pharmacy, your hometown family pharmacy. Jeff Jenkins from the newsroom joins us this morning. Jeff, good morning. How are you?
Hey, Dave. Good morning.
We started getting word about a helicopter crash. It happened around 5 yesterday, and as I mentioned, I actually had just left Logan. I was down there for a funeral service for radio icon Big Papa Jay Nunley, and I was driving back when I got a call from a friend who lives there about the crash. What is the latest at this point? What do we know now?
Okay, so a Huey helicopter. So it's a helicopter that was used in Vietnam, and it was part of from what we've been able to gather, the Huey reunion, the 7th annual Huey reunion, which is based out of the airport at Logan. And what they do is these Huey owners, you know, they bring the Hueys there and then they give rides. And it was off on one of these rides where, you know, folks can go down and I think you pay a nominal thing. I don't think it's even that much from what I was able to learn from their website. And it appears that this is one of those planes, one of those helicopters, I'm sorry, that crashed.
Mm-hmm.
And so it crashed right around 5 o'clock, right before 5 o'clock, right on Route 17.
Mm-hmm.
In Logan County, near Kelly Hollow, okay, in Logan County. So it is a State Route 17. It's a lined highway.
Driven it many times.
Yeah, exactly. And you would kind of know better where. So it's south of Logan.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously kind of in the General Stallings Man area, right?
That's, yeah, I mean, you could say that, yeah.
Okay. So from a photo that we have seen but have not been able to publish yet, it appears that the helicopter crashed, you know, right on the highway toward, because it's real narrow right there. You've got, mm-hmm. you know, you've got the hillside basically like a lot of West Virginia roads. You've got the hillside right to the left. And it appears it crashed right there, right into the hillside. The tail of the helicopter was still on the roadway, but the front part would be where the passengers and the pilots were. That was totally on fire through the guardrail. 6 people on board all perished. We don't know where they're from yet. None of that's been released. As happens with aviation accidents, the FAA is the first, Federal Aviation Administration is the first to confirm that there was a crash. They did confirm that. And then the NTSB, National Transportation Safety Board, conducts the investigation.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have more people who perish, it's usually a larger team that would come in. So NTSB announced last night that they were sending a 5-person team plus a specialist that deals with families. I'm sure about the grief and different things.
They were actually on site last night. Okay. Let me just say this. There were at least, in talking to one of the county commissioners down there, they were at least on site last night doing trauma, grief counseling, I guess, to some of the families last night.
Right. So they are on the scene. Our experience in covering plane fatalities and helicopter fatalities is that at some point, once the NTSB does kind of an initial assessment, they will they will release more information. And a lot of times they'll do that through a news conference. It might take a day or so. You know, they'll give you some preliminary information about what they've seen. Now, an official cause, that usually comes months down the road, and an official after the investigation, and they'll come out with a cause. But that's, you know, that's basically what we know right now. That route's still shut down because it's the wreckage. Now, usually NTSB will do an initial, and then they'll remove the wreckage and take it to a secure place where they can continue their investigation. So we'll see when that would occur, probably in the next day or so.
And Jeff, I mentioned at the top of the show that I had ridden on one of those. We're still not sure exactly which one it was. I was told originally it was the one that I had ridden on that was kind of based in the Logan area, but now we have information that maybe it wasn't that. So we don't exactly know that at this point. But I kind of, not to make light of the situation, but I did kind of mention that riding on one of those things, I had, and there's probably military people out there listening to me that are laughing right now. You and I talked off the air about your experience riding on a Blackhawk. That was not for me. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not one that's afraid of flying necessarily, but it was a little scary for this kid.
I mean, I did see a video last night of the day before someone riding in this helicopter. It was a beautiful day, and they were taking video, and they had posted it actually on the Huey Reunion Facebook page.
Right.
And of course, expressing condolences and everything and just talking about what a great time they had on that ride. We have been able to tell the tail number, that identifies, and it appears that this is the same helicopter that came up for Run for the Wall in Nitro, landed there, big veterans event, obviously, landed there, and some veterans were able to see the helicopter and things. We have run that tail number and have learned from the FAA, information from the FAA, that this helicopter is registered to a resident of Princeton. Now, it still might have been based in Logan. But it's actually registered to a gentleman in Princeton. So all of that, NTSB will come out with all of that at some point, and who the pilot was, and if there was a co-pilot, how many. There's six, so there might have been four passengers, a pilot, co-pilot. I mean, we don't know that yet. We've heard that maybe a few are from the local area, kind of the general local area, but we don't have that confirmed yet. Yeah. But I do think people come in from kind of the region to ride these.
Well, and also you've got in Logan the West Virginia Freedom Festival, which is the biggest event. There is no county fair in Logan, so that is the biggest event of the year, and it actually just started yesterday, and is going to run, I guess, through the weekend, or early part of next week, or whatever. And so I was down there for that, and seeing all the. I mean, there's thousands and thousands of people that come into town just for that event with concerts. It's a much smaller regatta without the river, I guess, but there's a lot of people that come in for that too. So, that kind of puts a cloud over everything, normally would be a happy time down there.
I know they're kind of separate events, but there's probably a little bit of cross promotion.
Oh, sure. Absolutely. Yeah.
If you come to that, you might go up and ride a helicopter. Mm-hmm.
It's part of it. Yeah.
Yeah. At the Logan Airport. So, that I'm sure that would draw people in from Kentucky, maybe.
The people came in from several states, that. And a lot of them would come in planning the family reunions around that sort of thing, too. So it's a big event. Anyway, well, Jeff, thanks. I know you guys and Alex and the entire news team were working on this late last night, and I appreciate it. And we'll have any information as it comes throughout the day.
Yeah, just the thing is, when the NTSB comes in and they really take control of the situation, that's what they do. I mean, they're federal investigators. So the information that comes out is kind of limited by nature. Because they're conducting an investigation, so there's not going to be a whole lot out there just with, what they want to release, in a way. And so, you got the folks, I'm sure, with the Huey reunion who are grieving, obviously. Sure, This is a terrible thing that's happened. So
and I was told, I don't think this would be out of line to mention this. I was told that there were several people that were waiting, family members of those on the flight were waiting at the airport. So I talked to somebody last night that told me, and they were waiting on that craft to return, and of course it did not. So we can imagine what they're going through. Sure. Hey, Jeff, man, I appreciate you taking time to be here, man. Thanks a lot.
Okay, all right.
580 Live brought to you in part by the Charleston Dirty Birds. They are your hometown baseball team. For more information about any of their promotions and upcoming games, whatnot, go to dirtybirdsbaseball.com. Sears Monument Hotline, 304-345-5858. Fruit Pharmacy text, 304-935-5008. And we got a ton of texts to get to. We'll get to them right after this. Plus, your phone calls are welcome as well. From the Parmar Store Studio, it's 580 Live and the voice of Charleston, WCHS.
Brought to you by the Eric J. Tarr Family Businesses. Eric J. Tarr Family Businesses live to make life better for you and your family.
Spring is in the air, and at Thornhill GM Superstore, we have your cure for spring fever. It's a sport utility spring at Thornhill. Hey, it's Sydney inviting you to find new roads to the Thornhill Motor Mile and get you a new 2022 Chevy Equinox with 0% APR for 16 months or $1,000 cash allowance. Or a new 2022 Chevy Trailblazer with 1.9% APR for 60 months. Life is better in a Chevy SUV. Find out why and tag your new SUV at ThornhillGMSuperstore.com or in person, US 119 Chapmanville. The road to total savings starts with Thornhill.
Must qualify through GM Financial. See Thornhill for all details.
It's back. And Coba Insurance presents the Charleston Sternwheel Regatta. Concerts, carnival rides, sternwheel boat races, and more. June 30th through July 4th, bring the family to the Kanawha River in downtown Charleston. Something for everyone with activities for all ages. Plus live music with the Spinners.
I'll be my way back to you, baby.
And Martina McBride. Plus fireworks on Saturday and Monday. June 30th through July 4th, you got a regatta at the Charleston Sternwheel Regatta. Don't miss it.
Some X's are a real pain in the backside, but Omega Commercial Interiors has the X that's all about stress-free comfort. Hi, I'm David McCormick, owner of Omega Commercial Interiors, and I'm talking about the amazing X chair. Infinite recline, dynamic variable lumbar support, and available heat and massage make the X chair a customer favorite. Omega Commercial Interiors has X chairs in stock and ready to ship. The X chair is the X you'll love to see every day. Learn more at OmegaCommercialInteriors.com.
Presented by RX by Tel Pharmacy, your neighborhood pharmacy on Charleston's west side. Proud to bring you RX by Pack, a pre-filled pouch system which divides your tablets and capsules into multiple day doses perfectly matched to your doctor's instructions. Learn more at RXbytel.com.
6 away from 10, Sears Monument Hotline, 304-345-5858. Fruit Pharmacy text, 304-935-5008. And hey, if you're not satisfied with your current pharmacy, check out RX Vitel on the west side. Ask about their RX Bipack. Those are pre-filled pouch systems which divide your prescription doses perfectly as prescribed by your doctor. RX Vitel on the west side, they are your neighborhood pharmacy. A lot of text to get to this morning. Text says, 3 months of incarceration for Derek Evans when virtually and maybe no one at any time comparable for the Summer of Love. This is not the Summer of Love of 67, of course. We're talking about from a couple of years ago. And all the riots across the nation, including the Antifa violence. January 6th was a terrible event, but I hardly see it as a coup or an insurrection. Hard to have a coup with only cell phones. What will happen to the rioters or looters after the Roe opinion is issued by the court? It's a double standard that bothers most people like me. If the book was thrown at both sides, I would support that too, according to a texter. Ruth Pharmacy Texas, Evans was truly dumb and acted moronic. He shouldn't have been there. But 3 months compared to the pure violence from the other acts committed across the country, I believe that if we had taken a tough approach, all that stuff January 6th would have never happened. According to a texter, interesting thought there. Text says maybe all the January 6th defendants still being held without any charges or those getting 1 or 2 months for misdemeanors should have gone to BLM Plaza there and rioted and set fire to everything. They probably would have had Vice President-elect at that time Harris bail them out of jail if they would have been arrested at all, according to a texter. Fruit Pharmacy text line says, well, Stephen Colbert's staff spend months in prison since 7 of them were arrested the other night inside the U.S. Capitol, committing the exact same offense that Derek Evans committed. If not, it proves this is all political, according to a texter. Texter says, I'm not a Republican, but I've known Tony Hodge for many years, and I can't think of anyone with more integrity. He'd be a great asset leading his party. I'm going to look that number up and see if that came from Tony Hodge. I don't know. I don't know one way or the other about that. I do know this, though. 580 Live is brought to you in part by Hudson's Pizza. The June special of the month at Hudson's is a large pepperoni pizza with cheese sticks, only $19.99. To order online for takeout or delivery or to find your nearest Hudson's Pizza location, go to hudsonspizza.com. Let's see. I guess you know you're not transmitting in Charleston. As a matter of fact, you could boost your signal. I can get V100 anywhere, but can't get you guys 10 miles away from Charleston. You have listeners out there that want to hear. Yeah, we know, as I mentioned at the top of the program, we do know that due to some technical issues that a couple of our stations, all of the stations of the WCHS network and also our sister station 96.1 KWS, as of when I went on the air this morning, were off of the actual terrestrial airwaves. However, we are still streaming, and you know, they're working on it. As far as boosting signals and things like that, they pay me to talk. They don't pay me to be an engineer. That is way out of out of my range of what I do, and I don't do that very well. The president's is floating around an idea that practically everyone thinks is a bad idea, including people of his own party. And, of course, I'm talking about this federal gas tax holiday. Now, let's back up a little bit. If you remember, a couple of weeks ago, the governor, during one of his COVID briefings, talked about possibly relieving the gas tax in West Virginia. You'll recall the West Virginia Democrats, many of them were on board. And several of them, including Senator Stephen Baldwin and Rich Lindsey and others, had actually, you know, had pressers a couple of months ago, I guess, when gas prices started to go up, asking about it. Then the governor came out and said he would be all for it. But then something happened, and we kind of talked about that. You know, something happened along the way, and we had others, including folks like Mr. Blair, who came out and said that the Senate President Craig Blair, that's not a good idea. So now the president is floating this idea about a federal gas holiday. One person that is not for it is Senator Joe Manchin. He, and this story, by the way, is posted at WVMetroNews.com. He says he won't support it. He did an interview with ABC News talking about that very thing. And in this interview with ABC News, and again, you can read the story at WVMetroNews.com, he says suspending the 18 cents a gallon tax would put a hole in the trust fund that pays for road and bridge repairs. He also indicated that the way the tax works, it's not going to actually be 18 cents. Now, I'm not a tax expert, and I'm not going to plan to be, but when you say we're going to suspend the 18 cents tax, if this were to happen, which apparently it's not going to, it's not going to be, it's going to take 18 cents off what you pay at the pump. That's not the way it works, because this whole thing is tied up into roads and so on and so forth, so it's not going to happen. And he did have an interesting quote, which I thought was very good, and I give Senator Manchin credit for this. He said, quote, which politician up here is going to be voting to put the 18 cents tax back on prior to the election? Because as I said, although it may be a good idea in theory, eventually, whether it's on the statewide level or the federal level, the tax will have to go back on. And at that time, gas will be higher, probably, most experts say, than it is now. So who wants to be that bad guy? All right? I don't think so. Probably not going to happen. By the way, everybody seems to think this is a bad idea, including former President Barack Obama, who said so in an interview. He said this is not a good idea to do that. So I don't think it's going to happen. I think even Nancy Pelosi spoke out against it. All right, we got to go. Thank you so much to Attorney General Patrick Morrissey, Brad McElhenney, and Jeff Jenkins as well. Follow the news of the day, WVMetroNews.com and at WCHSNetwork.com. Coming up on the show tomorrow, it is our 580 Live. Taylor Brooks, Adopt Me Please, Pet of the Week, Jim Strawn from Live on the Levee is here too. Have yourself a great Thursday, and as always, have fun. Love somebody.
WCHSAM 96.5 FM Charleston, 104.5 Cross Lanes, a WVRC media station. We're proud to live here too.